Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and today's guest is Charlie Barrett, all the way from Cork in the deep south of Ireland. Charlie has been following Wolves since 1963 when they ended up in Ireland in a friendly during the big freeze where they played Coventry in Cork. And Charlie be telling me all about that and about the intervening years and all the matches he's managed to see. Hope you enjoy it. Charlie, how are you?
Very good, thank you, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Ah, yeah. Nothing like it. And good to see you as well.
Oh, yeah, that's the most important thing, Tom.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just thinking to myself, you know, that we've been arranging to meet for the last few weeks, and we said, should we leave it till the season is over? And lo and behold, we get a thunderbolt.
Thunderbolt, Tony. Faulkner rang me because we mind grandchildren and they were here at the time.
Yeah.
And I said that Nuno was going. I thought he was ball hopping. No, I really did know. No, I know there was speculation linking him with Spurs, all right, but yeah, he didn't take too much notice of it, really.
Yeah. But I think that was speculated, I think, when the last time before Mourinho took over, I think every time the Spurs job came up, Nuno seemed to be the first name on the list. So, there didn't seem to be any inkling at all that it was going to happen. I know with the way things were during the season, you know, with everyone was suffering under COVID and there was a noticeable kind of effect on him of not seeing his family and all that, and it was mentioned several times, but it's still, you never know what's going on. I think with Fosun, they seem to keep everything very, very tight, very close to the chest. And
very close, Tony. Very close. I mean, was he pushed? Is he going of his own accord or what? You know, I, as all Wolves fans would like to know, you know, if he wants to go back home to his family, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if he goes to Spurs, look, that's fine too. If it is his own decision.
Yeah.
But if it is the owner's, you know, you'd like to know.
Yeah. Because it's the timing as well, because normally if these things happen during the season, the onus and the emphasis is on getting somebody in quick and the job is done. But now,
yes.
I mean, even if a new manager comes in the next week or so, he's still going to have 2 months plus before the season starts. And, you know, like every friendly, every word is going to be analysed, and it's going to be interesting, because certainly they need to win the fans back over.
Oh yeah, this has been a big setback. I know the season has been, you know, it has been disappointing really, but you know, I suppose when I looked at the table, saw we finished, we say joint 12th, considering the injuries we had and everything. You know, we did okay, did.
Yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed. Anyway, We'll come out.
Sure, that's all, Tony. You know, will you, it's okay if, well, not okay, but if you're a Liverpool, Man United, Chelsea fan, you know, they're always going to come to the top at some stage.
Yeah.
You know, where Wolves, you know, the last 2-3 seasons have been fantastic, Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
As a fan, no, really, like, they have been marvellous, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And, you know, as I said to someone there, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, Wolves, every decision with Wolves is make or break, you know? I mean,
yeah.
The next manager could either bring us up to the top 6 or he could relegate us, you know? The big clubs, as you mentioned, United and Liverpool, I mean, a bad season for them is not finishing in the top 4, you know?
When I look at Manchester United, you know, and the media around and their fans and everything, I'd say they finished 2nd in the league. They're in their Europa finals.
Yeah.
Jesus, Tony, that's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and to be unbeaten at home for the whole, be unbeaten away for the whole season.
Yeah.
Tony, that's an unbelievable record to have, like.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Again, probably not wanting to take away from Man United, or maybe I do, but I suppose the fact that there were no fans in any of the grounds, home and away, didn't really matter. The away teams are probably favoured in a lot of games.
Well, yes, yes, that's true, like.
Anyway, just for our that usually like to start off our the chat with going back to when you were a wee lad, and was football a part of your life growing up?
So twas, Tony, really, and hurling actually played a bigger part. I played more GAA than I did soccer, really.
Yeah.
You know, I went to the Christian Brothers School, which was Sullivan's Quay. They were big into hurling. There was very little schoolboy league teams at the time.
Yeah.
You know, very little, actually. You might get under 16, but there was no under 12, 13 teams at the time. This is now coming into the early 60s.
Yeah.
And so it was hurling, really, I played. And I continued on playing hurling, and I really enjoyed it. Like, I went on to play with St. Finn Bars, known as the Bars.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, I had good success with them and some great friends there. I met my wife through the Bars and everything, because our family was steeped in history.
Yeah.
With the Bars. And so, yeah. Mm. So there's mostly, as I say, mostly hurling there.
Yeah.
But always had an interest in soccer. Always, my father was a great soccer man.
Yeah.
Great man to go to League of Ireland games now up in the old Mardyke.
Yeah.
He used to take me up there. And then when they went down to Floor Lodge, just go down to Floor Lodge nearly every second Sunday.
Yeah. And what was the Cork team back then?
Cork team, they were Cork Athletic when they were up in the Mardyke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my memories like of up there is that it was absolutely packed, jammed. Yeah. You know, we had no television or anything like that.
No.
So, you know, it was a live game. And League of Ireland soccer was good. And there was always a few, we call them imports from England, you know, and no matter who they were, like, they obviously, they were an attraction. Like, we always thought they were better than our fellas, like, you know, the Irish lads.
Yeah. I remember, because it was a George Best. I think Gordon Banks even came over to play at some stage.
Oh, he did, I was in Floor Lodge today. George Best played with Cork Celtic against Drogheda.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just actually just turned up like he was.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was reading one of his autobiographies there a few months ago, and he actually mentioned it, all right. Yeah, I'm not too sure what sort of memories he has himself of playing for Cork.
But... No. So there was great players came over. It was Gordon Banks, Jeff Hurst, Uwe Seeler, German international.
Yeah.
Trevor Brooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came over and
Bobby Charlton as well.
Buddy Marsh played a few games. And so you were right, between Cork Hibs and Cork Celtic. I didn't really favour one team. I just went to both games to see League of Ireland. And there was great League of Ireland teams going back like then, like some great players.
Yeah.
I mean, Shamrock Rovers, I remember Frank O'Neill now and Mick Leach.
Yeah,
they were great players, like.
Yeah, and I just think of the League of Ireland and I think Waterford had a very strong team around
Waterford,
that time as well.
Massive team that time, like Peter Alfie Thomas, Hale. Johnny Match. Alfie Hale.
Mm.
Oh, they did great teams. You know, when they won the league in Floor Lodge, it was over 25,000 people there that day, like, which was extraordinary, like.
Yeah. So you had a good
some great memories, really. Like, I must say, Floor Lodge in particular, like, you know, Dave, because he kind of transformed the whole scene here in Cork. He was very professional, like, because he passed over some very good players also.
Yeah, he passed away last year, did he? I think it...
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Yeah.
Great influence, And he played for Arsenal. Really. Did he play for Arsenal?
He played for Arsenal, he did. And he managed Home Farm then for a while. I think Home Farm could have won a cup actually under him.
Yeah, yeah.
The FAI Cup, I think.
Back in the early 70s.
But he was, you know, presented himself very well, and he brought in a kind of professional approach and everything, like. So
there were
great days, like, I have to say.
Yeah.
Great days.
So you had a good grounding in soccer down in Cork,
I always think Tony in Cork, you know, I'd went, as they say, blowing about it, but in Cork we're lucky, you know, like that you'd have hurling, football sometimes, soccer, even though soccer has gone down now, all right.
Yeah.
You know, there was always some bit of glory. Some team, you know, would get to the final either in Dalymount Park or Lansdowne Road or Croke Park. You know, there was always something.
Yeah.
You know, and we're lucky. You know, you've guys like Dinny Allen, who has an FAI Cup medal,
and
he has an All-Ireland football medal. I mean, that's extraordinary, like.
Yeah,
I've been lucky, I suppose, in a county like Cork, where it's kind of steeped in sport, I suppose, really.
Yeah, true, definitely. So, as I say, you had a good grounding. So, where did Wolves come into the picture for you then?
Wolves came in February 1963, at the time in England. No, I didn't know it at the time, but there was a big freeze-up in England.
Yeah.
No games being played. So Wolves and Coventry came on a Saturday to play. My father brought me down, and I always remember it was absolutely a deluge of a day raining.
Yeah.
It was like a bog. Following Wednesday then, Manchester United played Bolton. They came over also.
Yeah.
For some reason, no, we were after, I certainly was after hearing about Manchester United, because at the time, you had a good few Irish lads, you know, playing, you had Tony Dunn and Creighton and that. And
yeah.
I was, you know, I was aware of that.
Yeah.
Wolves, I don't know, was it the Black Knicks, the jersey? They just seemed to take my eye.
Yeah.
And from that day on, they care my team.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest problems we had here, and I suppose anywhere in Ireland really, was trying to get results.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there wasn't even teletext.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to wait until the Sunday morning. My father would get the paper and go down through the results.
Yeah.
You know, it was something, there was no match of the day. It's nothing.
Yeah. A lot of lads have the same kind of stories of people complain of the coverage that certain teams get in this day and age, but back then you really had to go
nothing.
Search, yeah. looking for a result, never mind who played.
That's right.
What the game was like, yeah. But
even in League of Ireland, Tony, I remember going in with my father on a Sunday, going about 5 o'clock into Parsons Street. The Irish Examiner had an office there.
Yeah.
And up on a billboard outside, they give all the results of the League of Ireland games that were played.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at 7:15 on Radio 1, they had and it was on for 15 minutes, Tony Sheehan and Philip Green.
Yeah.
They used to have my game to Davis or whatever. It was, oh, Philip Green was always at Milltown anyway. But if you wanted to get the results early, we used to walk in town, remember, with my parents. They'd go in for a drink afterwards and then go home. So what do you talk about? Talk about now, like, you could be at a match and getting every result under the sun, like,
People actually aren't watching the match anymore. They're on their phone, seeing what's happening everywhere else, yeah.
I'm kind of old-fashioned like that, Tony. I'd prefer to still wait for the result, as they say.
I would.
But they came by King Wolves, you know, over the years, and, you know, I'd be checking their, as I say, at that time it was newspaper. And you get the results. And then the likes of football magazines then start to call you choose and match. You get them, you know, and not the odd time there might be a colour photograph in the centre page of a Wolves player. And of course, I'd take it out and I'd put it up on my bedroom wall.
Yeah.
And Murray was killing me, God rest her soul. You know, so they were always my team. And, you know, it was, I suppose, as I said, I saw him playing in 63.
Yeah.
I'm sure I didn't see him anymore right then, really, right? You know,
yeah.
I mean, it was this, I suppose, the 70s, I think, I even later, but that match of the day kind of came along.
Yeah, yeah.
You could see match of the day. I mean, I give another example. Below in Flood Lodge, there was a sports club there, and every Monday night, they had a Monday night now. They'd show match of the day.
Yeah.
It was it was recorded. I know it was in England or Dublin.
Yeah.
On a tape, and it was brought down, and you'd have to be, it would come on at 7:30, and you'd nearly have to be there for 6:30. It was like going for a match to the queue to get in, to see match of the day.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic, really. Like, you might be lucky then that Wolves would be on match of the day, you know.
Yeah. So when did you get over to your first game in Molyneux?
I didn't get over for years, Tony. Our first game, I think, was Sunderland. It was on a Friday night. Miserable night. It was 1-1 the same night. No, I went over with Fox, actually.
Yeah.
And my biggest problem, Tony, but I knew no one who followed Wolves.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd say to yourself, how do I even get a ticket?
Yeah.
You know, even though I used to get their match programs and that, not every match program, no one does.
Yeah.
But it was nearly later in life that I started going to games. I'd enjoy team up with Faulkner and Gary Cotter and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the first time we went to Molyneux at that time, and Jesus, I was I was in awe of it, like really, I was like a child, you know, that just, yeah. I was looking at Molyneux then, like, you know, yeah. It was there in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was kind of special. It was very special now.
And what year was that, did you say, Charlie?
I'd say it was in the 2000s anyway, I'd say, before yeah. I actually...
Was it wasn't the one with where Mick, was Mick McCarthy the manager?
Mick was manager of Sunderland, and, I think, yeah.
Oh, was Sunderland,
I also, in 74, went to England with three other friends of mine at yeah. Easter.
Yeah.
Right. And at that time, at Easter, Tony, you could get two matches on a Good Friday, a Saturday, a game, and Easter Monday.
Yeah.
I saw four games in 3 days, and one of those was at White Hart Lane, Spurs and Wolves.
Yeah.
That was my first time actually seeing Wolves play since 63. They were beating 3-0 the same day now.
Yeah. Remember when that was? What year?
70, I think it was 74. I know Easter 74.
Yeah.
Dugan was playing now and Mike Bailey, Wagstaff. I always remember the size of the pitch we were on.
Yeah.
And Dave Wagstaff was just, you could nearly touch him really. But
yeah.
He'd skin up full back, like, in no problem. Like, he was very good, like, Wagstaff. Yeah. Great player.
I think
he was.
All of us of a certain vintage have a great fondness for that team in the 70s.
Yeah. I thought, Tony, to me, they were fantastic.
Yeah.
We were beaten, I remember listening to it again, it was on the radio, BBC 4, the old Fierce Cup final against Spurs.
Yeah.
They were beaten 2-1 at Molyneux, went to 1-1
yeah.
at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And Martin Chivers, Jesus, he was a great centre forward.
Yeah.
He always broke our hearts.
Yeah.
He always scored against us. Like,
yeah.
But no, it was a very, very good Spurs team.
Yeah.
Wolves were also very good. Like, because they came along then in 74, you know, and they won the League Cup final against a very, very good Manchester City team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were full of stars, that City team. Yeah.
Oh, they were. You know, Francis Lee. Dennis Law, I think, was playing even the same day with City, like.
Yeah.
But that was, yeah. I actually tried to get, there was a travel company in Dublin, Atlas Travel. They used to do packages. And I remember Jesus ringing them up and trying to get a package to go over, but they ended up with no actually match ticket.
Yeah.
So,
oh, geez.
There was no point here. I was in 74. But that was my first time, kind of, as a Wolves fan, experiencing success with them.
Yeah.
You know, it was great.
Yeah.
And I thought that team were very good. You know, they went down then in 1980 and won the League Cup.
Yeah.
Fantastic again. With a very good team.
Yeah.
And then I suppose the 80s and 90s then, Jesus, we went downhill big time, like.
Yeah.
But I still, you know, there was still my team. There was no such thing as, Liverpool or United or whoever to get the team, you know, at the time.
Mm.
No way would I change or anything like that. And you know, fellas would, you'd meet fellas and they'd say, who do you follow? Wolves. They'd look at you and say, you're two heads or something, like.
yeah.
You know, it was, but I was proud to follow Wolves, you know, very much so. And over the last few seasons now, I've got texts from fellas that I worked with years ago and to say Wolves are flying and, you know, they have a good result and that, you know,
which
is lovely to get, like.
It's funny, yeah. It seems to be something about, you know, over here in Ireland that, you know, people do remember. Like, if people ask you, or if you're wearing a Man U short or Liverpool short, or people ask you, who do you follow, you know, and if it's one of the big teams, they kind of, you know, where they say Wolves, they always come back at you with it. Wolves.
Oh, they do.
You know, and they remember you, as you say, you know.
Oh, they do. I was involved now here with the local GAA club here where I'm living now in Ballincollig, and I was involved with young lads under 12, 13 and 14. And at the time, Tony, could take three or four young fellas in a car at that time to matches.
Yeah,
and
more.
We don't go into anything now, but anyway, that's another day. But I'd be coming home on a Saturday and young fellas might say, turn on the radio, they have a result and that, you know. And again, they'd say, you're funny Wolves, you know, they just couldn't get over it, like.
Yeah.
But I'd meet some of them guys today and they're, you know, in their 30s and 40s, like, and then, you know, they'd still say, are you still following Wolves, Charlie? I said, of course I am.
yeah, I know. It's good, yeah.
You know,
well, at least we're, as you say, between with the 80s and 90s, you know, the 80s, we went way downhill. The 90s, we were always nearly there, you know. We were never kind of quite made it back to the...
No, we could never get the final push, like, over the line.
Hmm.
No, it was a few frustrating seasons there. No, I know, was it 0-1? We got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Christ, we... I, Was that the season all one? We were winning at one stage, I'd say, about 10 or 12.
You're way ahead, yeah.
Way ahead, and as a Wolves fan, like, that was just demoralising, really.
Yeah. And then I think I was mentioned to a couple of lads before, when we did get there then through the playoff final, it was a great day. And
great day.
You know, and people felt like we got a bit shortchanged then when we did get to the Premier League, that, you know, the money wasn't given to bolster the squad, because we had a kind of an aging squad. We had some fine players, but they were near the end of their careers, and
They were gone over the top, really. Like, you know what I mean? The Paulins, Dennis Irwin, you know, Alex Ray, Butler was at the half. You know, there was a few of them gone over the hill. But that was a great day. I went to Cardiff on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the bus from Cork to Rosslare. Went over on the ferry, got a bus again to Cardiff.
Yeah.
Had no accommodation, got to Cardiff about 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Jesus, Tony, I just walked around. I did. I had a ticket. The only problem with the ticket was it was in the Sheffield United end.
How did you manage to get that?
The three goals were scored in front of me, and the penalty saved.
Yeah.
There were. It was a friend of mine, a chap called Michael Punch, great sports fan. He'd have contacts in England, his son-in-law. So he actually got a ticket for me.
Lovely.
And great. Oh, Jesus. I remember staying in the stadium, I'd say, for an hour afterwards. And just lapping it up, like, as a Wolves fan. Like, it was great.
That was brilliant. Yeah, it was great.
Well, it's not really.
I suppose one of the questions, too, that'd be to the forefront would be your favourite player, or probably more than one player, since how you're a long-time Wolves fan.
Favourite player? I kind of nearly favour backs more than forwards, you know, like the John Richards and Steve Bull will always be remembered, and they were great players.
Yeah.
But I thought Frank Munro and John McCall were a fantastic central defence partnership.
Yeah.
I thought Derek Parkin and Palmer, they were very good fullbacks also.
Yeah.
You know, when Kenny Hibbett, I love watching Kenny Hibbett, he was another great player. When Willie Carr came to us, again, he was excellent.
Yeah.
You could, Stephen Fritcher served us well. He got a lot of goals for us, Kenny Miller got a lot of goals for us.
Yeah.
You know, there were, Kevin Doyle did well for us.
Yeah.
Dave Edwards was another fellow that I really liked. I thought he gave everything, really.
Yeah, he did a lot of criticism, I think, from some fans, but he put in a great effort. You know, he gave 100% every game. You know?
I did. He was honest. He mightn't have been, you know, the most skillful player or anything like that, but I thought he gave everything. Jody Craddock was another fella. You know, again, he might get criticism, but he was a solid, you know, central defender. Gave all.
Yeah.
You know, his heart was in the right place, as I'd say.
Yeah.
So he was another guy now, like, really, yeah. Matt Murray was a very good goalkeeper. Unlucky with injuries now, like, he was.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't, you know, going back to Mike Bailey, you know, Wagstaff, you know, Derek Dugan and that.
Yeah.
Phil Parks was a great goalkeeper for a long number of years with us.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think I was saying to Faulkner recently they're having a tribute night to Phil Parks in Molyneux in October. Yeah, we're actually, a few of us gone over to it, you know. So
excellent, yeah.
That should
Jesus, he gave great service to us, like, really. Yeah. And possibly was unlucky, you know, that at the time, I suppose, England had good goalkeepers too, also, you know, that he didn't make the international team. But, you know, there was great, you know, I always remember Bob Hazel. I'm the centre back.
Yeah, yeah.
Centre back. You know, he was, you know, George Berry was another fella. Ben Blakes, he got a lot of goals for us too, also. You know, they were all, you know, they served us well, you know.
Yeah. Of the modern team, say in the last few years, who will be your standout players there?
Well, I suppose he remains really, like, as he gets goals, like, he's, you know, he's excellent, really, in fairness to him. Big loss for us this year. How he's going to come back, Tony, from injury. It's going to be interesting, really. Like, you know, I wouldn't be putting too much pressure, certainly, on him. You know, Nevis, I always, you know, like watching Nevis, in fairness.
Yeah.
Matt Doherty did very well for us also.
Yeah.
I just couldn't understand. I still can't to this day why he moved to Spurs.
Yeah.
Not just Spurs, no, but why he moved.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, his pocket is probably heavier, obviously, financially, but.
Yeah.
You know, performance-wise on the pitch, you know, he was a big loss to us, like, really.
Yeah, he did. He was like he fit into the system that we were playing so well. We lost a lot of goals and a lot of assists that he'd given us over the previous years. You know,
he was excellent. No, really, I must say no. And Conor Cody, you know, Conor Cody has done very well for us too. Also,
yeah,
might be got off pace a little bit now at the moment, but still,
yeah,
Cody's good.
Yeah, with it.
Raleigh, I like Raleigh, in fairness to him, you know. Yeah. I suppose his form has been patchy, but I still think he can come back again, like, really.
Yeah, he obviously, you were saying about your preference for defenders, and, you know, I was thinking, like, Bolly would be, to me, he'd be a bit of a kind of a Alan Hansen, if you think back with Liverpool. Very elegant, never fussed on the ball, and just always seems to have everything under control.
Yeah, no, I like him. I was saying, oh, I do. And hopefully, you know, he'll come back to form again next season. We need him anyway, big time, really. Yeah.
It's steady. I think the defence was the one part this year probably where things kind of, we were chopping and changing system and players with injuries and COVID and everything as well. We were chopping and changing. But you say about Cody, I think Cody prefers the three at the back rather than just a back four.
Oh, yeah. He was caught a good bit this season for some reason. You know, as you said, he preferred the old system. But look, I think he's done very well for us, like, and will continue to do well for us.
So, with the way things have gone in the last few days, what would you be hoping for the new season?
Oh God, Tony, it's a good question. Oh, I suppose. Do you mean where would I like to see him finish? Will you mean is it? Or I would hope, Tony, that we'd finish. We'd say, if we can finish even mid-table next season again. Yeah. I wouldn't be expecting this. I'd love to see it, obviously, to finish in the top six.
Yeah.
Definitely like the top 10, top 12. Hopefully not to be stuck down in relegation, you know, not to be go through a season like that.
Yeah.
So I definitely think if we can, whoever the new manager is in, you know, let him set up his squad and whatever, and if we can finish mid-table, I'd be happy with that. I would.
Yeah.
I would.
Oh yeah, I think we'll all settle. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done between now and the start of the season. So hopefully things will be all sorted out for us anyway. So,
hopefully, yeah. And do you think Tony Dale, your own opinion, you'd have more knowledge, you know, as such inside knowledge. Do you think they'll go abroad for the manager, or do you think they'll be in England
It seems to be the same again. They'll be going for somebody from Portugal or kind of that neck of the woods,
right.
You know. The name's been thrown around, but as you say, you never know until it happens with this.
Yeah, right. Well, all the Portuguese players, you know, that Nuno bought, oh Jesus, they've been great, like, you know.
Yeah.
I know Fabio, you know, I know he's only 18, 19, but look, give him another season or two and we'll judge him then.
Ah, yeah, and I think with Jimenez back next year, I think that'll take pressure off him. It'll put him into his real role, which was to, you know, to ease himself into the team rather than
be thrown in. Trying to deep end, really, like, yes.
And did Charlie, did you have any pieces of memorabilia that you would have collected over the years
I had a lot of programs, Tony, over the years. I did. And I ended up giving a lot of them away, actually, to fellas.
Yeah.
You know, I did.
Yeah.
I'm a great program collector. No matter what match I go to, soccer match, GA match, geez, if I was ever a rugby match, I'd have the programme and I'd always like get them the stub of the match ticket and I'd clip it into the inside of the programme.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know. But I kind of like things like that. But as I say, no, I have an attic above and there's programmes going back and I'm kind of saying to myself, what am I keeping them for, you know?
Yeah. You're talking to your brother, you know. The room I'm in here is full of football and music stuff as well.
But yeah. Oh, that's nice.
I've all sorted into years and clubs and all sorted ways and homes and loads. I always...
Right.
You'll probably be the same. I look back at programmes that I bought in the early 70s for League of Ireland games or any game.
Oh, yes.
And I say to myself, I never had a penny when I was a kid. How did they end up buying... How did they get money to buy these programmes?
Programme, right, yeah.
They used to have... They used to be on the back of the Shoot magazine they used to have ads for companies in England that would sell programmes. And they used to get
the
catalogues.
Right.
And they used to look for Wolves programmes or Cup Final programmes. And I'd buy them. I don't even know where they got the money from.
Right. I know.
Maybe you're better off not trying to remember where they got the money from.
But you know, Tony, at one stage... And this is, Jesus, I'm going back into the 90s, I'd say. I knew Roman O'Fally goals in Cork anywhere. I didn't. No one.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at, on the Evening Echo on a Friday night, there was a little column down, Supporters Club, and say Man United match being shown in some pub and whatever, Chelsea. And then one night I spotted Wolves, anyone interested in forming an Irish Wolves Supporters Club?
Yeah.
And actually Gary Cotter and Faulkner's number, I think, were there.
Yeah,
That's how I got in contact then. I was saying, Jesus, there's other people out there that follow Wolves. But that's how I got to know Gary and Faulkner then.
Yeah.
So, as I said, now I knew no one that followed Wolves. No one. But a story, Tony, a few years ago, we go down to Ardmore in County Waterford.
Yeah.
Mobile home there. We're going there since 87.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I went for a walk anyway. And in the distance, I could see a young fella. And he had, a yellow jersey. And as I got closer to him and closer, Jesus, that's a Wolves jersey. This young fella might be only, at the time, 8 or 9, I'd say.
Yeah.
So I did it anyway. I see the crest. There was a man with him.
Yeah.
So one word borrowed another anyway. So who was I talking to? But I didn't realize it at the time. It was Gary Cotter's brother, Mick.
Yeah.
And his young lad, Ben.
Ben. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I never saw a young fella before to see with a Wolves jersey.
Yeah,
But all of them United and all the rest of them.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
Small
world. And I said to him, I said, geez, I only know two other Wolves fans, Faulkner and Gary Cotter. And he said, I'm his brother.
Yeah.
That was lovely, really. Like, yeah. And the last time I met him, obviously, so I was above in Dublin at the Steve Bull.
The Steve Bull night, day.
Which was very good. I thoroughly enjoyed that. There was a good atmosphere there and everything. And
I enjoyed
that.
It was great. It was great to be in the position to be able to get through worldwide Wolves.
It was. It was great.
Yeah.
And another time, we were in Ardmore, but we went off to Dungarvan to do shopping, and I ended up in a hardware shop.
Yeah.
And this fellow was talking about, he was selling paint, red paint, to the fellow next to me.
Yeah.
And the man said, well, there's different shades of red. And your man said, it's like the Man United jersey red now. And I said, ah, for fuck's sake. And the man said to me, and who do you follow? I said, Wolves. Go away. He said, it's the fellow behind the counter. Says, go away. He said, we have a fierce, massive Wolves fan here.
Yeah.
Ray
Moore.
Ray Moore.
Yeah.
So he brought me down to him anywhere. So he was lovely, So, like that, Tony, for me, it was lovely to meet other Wolves fans,
Yeah.
Who I thought who never existed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a good chat with Ray, when he was telling me, going to matches and stuff like that.
Yeah. And we meet him. We met him a few times. Yeah. He's a lovely, lovely guy.
Yeah. Lovely guy, I have to say. Things like that, I kind of get a kick out of, as they say,
Like that. Yeah, it's great. As I say, for particularly when you've been so many years following Wolves, that you get a few good years, and there are people remember that you're a Wolves fan.
Even that's Dean Cardiff in the playoffs in 2003. I don't know how many texts I got from fellas walking with.
Yeah.
Congrats to Wolves, fantastic, it was great. And a lot of the texts I got from fellas, they didn't know folly soccer at all, they knew I folly Wolves.
Yeah.
It was, again, you'd be kind of chuffed with it, really,
Makes it all worthwhile.
It does, Tony, yeah, it does, it is. As I said, the last two or three seasons have been fantastic for us,
They have. Hopefully we'll.
Oh yeah, we'll keep it going. You just don't know, really.
Yeah.
You don't know, so hopefully, God is good.
Yeah. Anyway, Charlie, listen, it's been great talking to you, and we'll meet up again soon. Okay.
Okay, Tony.
Great.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.